Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. Standing by to join me is director Nico Santucci. We're going to talk about the film Serengeto, and it is out now. It's making waves in over 12 international film festivals. I had a chance to screen it. It was really outstanding. And the film features two female Asian protagonists and is a showcase of resilience, courage, and determination. And Nico is joining us now. Good morning, Nico.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling in.
What's happening this morning? Where are you today?
I'm at UC Irvine. It was very sunny yesterday, but not today. But it's great to be here.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm sorry to hear that because I'll be heading your direction. And I was hopeful for some sun in Newport Beach today.
No, I don't. It's 56 and cloudy, according to the weather.
Oh,
here.
Come on.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Anyway, good morning to you.
Good morning. It's still great to come out this way, so you'll have fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Nice. So I want to back up and have you tell the listeners, as well as myself, a little bit about your background, how you became a director.
Well, you know, I think it was a culmination of understanding my strengths and weaknesses throughout my life. I've been a creative, and I put those energies into a plethora of different areas, much of which was like architectural design and telling stories through pictures, and ultimately determined that in order to export these talents, I needed a medium that could reach a larger audience. Okay. And so that medium was film.
Yeah.
And I began to try to understand what my message would be. And I generally surround myself with things that are a little heavier. Mm-hmm. And I'm very sort of into introspective of how, like in this case, with this film, how different cultures look at life and how they identify a means of which to exist without burdening those around us, and I felt it was a really interesting subject. So ultimately, fast forwarding to this film, these were a lot of the things that I was interested in growing up and developing my career.
Okay.
And started to dump them into this film.
That's great. So yeah. I love that you shared, it's almost like you're sharing, you had a very non-linear path to get here.
Correct.
I love that. That makes for interesting life, doesn't it?
Well, you know what? I was just talking to my assistant this morning about that, how interesting our lives are, because we do so many things, and we do things that come natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I try not to do things that are against my core belief, and thank the Lord that I've been blessed to do the things that I love and been successful enough to persevere in those areas and move on to more advanced versions of them, you know. So I've been very lucky.
That's great. So how did you get involved in this film, Serengeto?
Well, I had a fascination with the Japanese and how they look at life. I think it's really profound. I mean, you can look at a number of very interesting facts about the Japanese life expectancy and a number of unique ways in which they deal with problems and how they overcome objectives and et cetera, et cetera. So I became so fascinated with it that I began to write a script back in 2017, sort of outlining very interesting journeys from people who feel that they could become a burden to their families, to the significant people in their lives. And I wrote a script called Serengeto, and I began to sort of visualize it in my head how it would look if, in fact, I had the opportunity to direct it, which I did.
Okay.
And it was a beautiful story. To me, it's a very interesting, poignant story of a woman who is sort of at a crossroad as to how not to burden her family with a chronic illness. And it's the way that she deals with it versus how a Western culture might deal with it. It's very different, as you saw, if you saw the film.
Yes, I'm not going to give it away. It was very different.
Right. And that was fascinating to me. I mean, I find it very interesting, and it's very stoic, and it's very profound, and actually, in many ways, it's quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So not everyone would agree with that, but if you really dive into it, and try to see through that looking glass, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. Fun fact for you, I was in a short film, and Eric Roberts played a soldier.
He's
great.
He's really something, right?
Yes. Yeah, he's great.
You know, on the dailies, we would go in, and I, as a director, of course, I've got everything in my head, how I see the scene, how I block the scene, where I see the characters moving around in the scene, and Eric just changes everything, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to sort of throw everything out the window, and he likes to sort of direct from in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And he's so damn good that it's hard to push back on him.
Yes, yes.
Your instinct is to say, Eric, please take your place.
Yes.
But yet he evolves the scene in a way that you're like, well, let me give him some freedom here.
Yes.
And he always got me better than I had expected.
I love that.
So, love Eric. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's great.
He's an amazing character, too, and he's such a sweet guy.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want to ask you about the woman who plays Grace Stanton. This is her breakout role. Is her name pronounced Ikumi
Yoshimatsu.
Yoshimatsu.
Ikumi.
Okay.
Yeah, just a remarkable. She's a phenom, really. We had, in casting the film, we cast in Los Angeles over a few weeks because these characters were sort of unique.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a very specific look in mind and a specific vibe that I was looking for. And Ikumi, when she walked in, literally, I think everyone in the room recognized her as probably our number one suspect because she was very emotional. She was very taken by the script. It was very organic for her. She explained to us before the rehearsal that she, in fact, had a very similar experience in her immediate family. And
really?
It touched her in a way that, you see in the film,
mm-hmm.
she's just very engaged in the subject and the emotions of it, and she was just spectacular.
She really was. She was very captivating on the screen, and also, I loved the pace of the film. Could you talk about that?
Well, thank you. Yeah. Me too. I mean, listen, the pace was everything for me, and I think pace in both speed and color and drama, it all sort of elevates it in a very consistent way throughout the film, and it builds to a very powerful climax, if you will, and it was very powerful, very moving in the way the film moves, and it moves that way in pace and in color. If you recognize, it becomes more saturated as we move through the film. That was all sort of by design, and I was really happy with how that felt in the end.
That's great. And how did you cast Ruby Park?
You know, Ruby Park, it was really amazing because Ruby wasn't even on our radar. We had cast in L.A., as I said, over a few weeks. And I think on the final day of casting, we were struggling with that Mickey Endo role.
Mm-hmm.
And an agent reached out to me and said, let me send you a video submission of someone who's not in town. So we watched it, and I said, oh, my God, it's still spectacular. And obviously it was very important that she look like Grace.
Yes.
And they're both obviously beautiful Asian females, and they look alike.
They do.
And that was very important for the role. So when I saw the tape, I said, oh, my God, this girl's amazing. And then she came in about a week later and just knocked it over the fence. I mean, she's just a spectacular young actress who's remarkably beautiful and incredibly sweet and hardworking. I mean, there were nights where we worked 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and scenes were in the rain, and she was really a trooper. It was not easy to get some of that stuff.
No, I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
3, 4, 5 in the morning.
The emotions always had to be sort of on tap.
Mm-hmm.
So that's tough for anybody, let alone a young pretty girl who's sort of just getting into the game and just really hitting it over the fence consistently for us was amazing.
So could you give us a sense, without giving too much away, a little bit more about the film?
Yeah, I mean, it's about a woman who obviously is brought up in Japan, and in her early 20s, she meets a remarkable, handsome, debonair businessman who's traveling in Tokyo at the time, played by Winsor Harmon. And they fall in love, and he brings her to the States, where she is adjusting to Western life. And they have a child, and they have a wonderful sort of idyllic lifestyle. And they, unfortunately for Grace, she falls ill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's her choice at the time to keep it from her family, her husband and her son. She doesn't really reveal her condition to anyone. Again, a little bit applying the Japanese ideology, she didn't want to burden anyone.
Yeah.
With she felt was something challenging. She didn't want to challenge her family. Everything was going so well in her family that she didn't want to be an anchor to them. So she goes on a journey to try to navigate that illness without interrupting their happiness. And it's about the journey that she involves herself and involves Ruby in, Mickey Endo,
mm-hmm.
and creating potentially a more blissful situation for her family versus the burden that she feels she provides.
Yeah. Well, it was, like I said, what really captured me was not only the story, but the way it unfolded, and it was very methodical. And I love how you also captured her backstory.
Right, right. Yeah, I felt it was important because in the end, she needed the motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, it was a lot to ask. So
yeah.
There was some personal motivation from her backstory that helped her to get there.
Yes. Yeah. And the whole book, which I won't talk about, but the whole book from, you know, sharing with her son, that was beautiful.
Yeah. No, the book is like, in fact, you mentioned it. I'm looking at it. It's on my mantle.
Oh.
That book. That book is, I built and created that book. It was such a big, it just pulls on a lot of heartstrings, right? When
mm-hmm.
she reads it to her young son, and ultimately, you know, it's simple and yet very beautiful.
So the book, is that something that was reflective of your life, and how did you decide to integrate that?
Well, it's not something that I relate to personally as an experience in my life, but certainly the emotion attached to the whole process of it is something I feel very close to. I find mm-hmm. it's sort of very traditional in a way, the book,
mm-hmm.
but in this format, obviously, it's a little more impactful. But I think it's just a beautiful way of sort of communicating the story with a little bit of adolescent color, right? Like
yes.
for son.
Mm-hmm.
It just sort of puts things in perspective.
Yes. It was really beautiful. It was very special. I love how you have it up on your mantle.
Yeah, well, you know, the book was always a very special piece for everyone on set, and it was sort of a precious jewel that we would, like in Pulp Fiction, in the box and the gold light. The book was always that for us. It was very. We only had one of them. There was no prop backup,
mm-hmm.
and the book was very. We put a lot of time into creating it, and then obviously our animators brought it to life on screen. So the book sort of comes to life to some degree.
That's great. So how does it feel that you're in over 12 international film festivals?
Well, I mean, when we finished the film, I had very good feelings about it, and friends and family who had sort of had an opportunity to see some of the edits, the response was really remarkable. And I felt like that litmus test would be true in larger audiences, be it festivals and theaters, etc. So when we rolled it out to festivals, I don't want to say I wasn't surprised. Actually, the first time I actually sat in the audience in the back, a very big festival.
Okay.
And sort of had a ball cap on in the back. I just wanted to gauge the audience, and I was so emotionally struck by how impactful the film was to the audience. And I was just so thrilled that my baby had been born to an audience who understood her.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really powerful for me. And then it just went on to win. You know, it seemed like almost all the festivals we entered, we won, or we certainly had great placements, and the actors and the whole...
That's wonderful.
Every part of it did very, very well.
That is wonderful.
So it was remarkable, yeah.
So what is in store for you? Are you thinking about your next film? Are you on to something
else? Yes, I'm working on a couple of very heavy, surprise, surprise, some very heavy stories. That one is a Natalie Wood story.
Oh.
It's about the fateful last 72 hours of her life on a boat off the coast of Catalina.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually been in development on that film for some time. Wrote a screenplay in 2016 and have been developing it ever since. It's been tough because of the Robert Wagner sort of involvement.
Yes.
And the curiosities people have. And we had inside information that sort of elevated his involvement. And the film sort of exposes that. And there's obviously a lot of legalese there.
Yes.
As to how much we can say without, you know, putting ourselves in a situation. So we've been treading lightly there, but we're in pre-production right now on that film.
Okay. Did they have children?
They did not.
They did not. Okay.
No. Very interesting story, as you know. Mm-hmm. Really just captivating story. Sad. Very sad.
Very tragic.
Very tragic. And such a beautiful woman. And it was such a challenging weekend with Chris Walken, Robert Wagner, and Natalie Wood on a 54-foot boat off the coast of Catalina. It's a very small place to be. People drinking literally 8 bottles of wine in a few hours. You can only imagine the potentials there.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That is terrible.
It was rugged. Rough night.
Ugh.
Did not end well for Natalie, unfortunately.
No. So you're working on that film, another heavy topic.
Very.
Yeah, but an important story.
It is, as is Sarageddon. I feel like the message in Sarageddon is one that needs to be part of the American conversation as it relates to potentially our politics and our and how we deal with a woman's right to choose in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's some topics there that the film might bring light to.
Yes. I would say so. Yeah. I would say. I mean, it's important.
We open April 1st worldwide, and it will be, thank God, I am so blessed to be in bed with Gravitas Ventures, is who
I saw
my
that.
Distributor is. Yeah, and it was who I wanted when I wrote the film as a distributor, as a partner. And thank God we're with Gravitas, and we are launching April 1st on all platforms. And you can
Fantastic.
Find it on Amazon and elsewhere, and Hulu, et cetera, et cetera. You can find it on airlines and airplanes, and their distribution footprint is just huge.
I love that. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I want to ask you something related to the film. So how did you learn about screenwriting? Was it something you studied at a school, you learned on your own?
You know, I did. I don't have much education, unfortunately, but in high school, and a little bit at community college, I was into literature and I was into writing, and I'd always been into writing even as a kid. I was always sort of a creative writer, just because, so to speak. And it translates well as a screenwriter. I think my biggest strength is really what I put on the page. It really is, and I work from that, and that's my roadmap. And that's something that's really organic for me. It's probably my strongest capacity in making films is writing them.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm very blessed in that way.
And what about your role as a director?
There's nothing more fitting for me than being a director. And those who direct, who love to direct, I'm sure can resonate, because it's just such a spectacular feeling to see your vision come to light and the moving pictures and telling your story, particularly when you've written the screenplay, you really have the idea in your head when you were jotting it down, and now to actually roll it out with cameras, it's so satisfying. It's so remarkably satisfying. So there's nothing better for me. I can't imagine my doing anything else in my professional career.
How fulfilling. And
is.
What was the time frame for you with this production, as far as, you know, how long did it take, and when was it shot?
It was shot in 2021, and it took about, literally took about 7 months. We did the core of it in 2 months, and then we had to do some really big scenes and to organize our talent. It came a few months later. So it was about 7 months in total, and the editing was pretty laborious. As you can see, there's so many layers in this film, and it was a very laborious editing process, but you know, all in all, probably a year and a half, and now, and then we, you know, sort of, there was a lot to do in post as it relates to, now when you're releasing films, you know, there's 100 languages, and you sort of, as a filmmaker, need to anticipate that and have all that sort of built in, the pudding, if you will, when you put it out, because all of these SAP programs that all, our smart TVs are all programmed to, you have to be able to speak to that. So there's quite a bit of technical that goes on after the artistic is complete. So that's laborious. So but now we're ready to go. The baby will be born.
Okay.
And we're very excited to get it out there to, for the public to sort of engage with.
I think it's great. It, what's interesting is you basically shared that you were shooting this during the pandemic.
Correct. Yeah. It was rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine. It was rough. As you know, you've been doing your show since like 2011, but you went through the pandemic with it as well, correct?
I did, but as a side note, and I think I had shared this with you before we went on the air, I studied screenwriting here at UC Irvine, so I was writing scripts in the pandemic. I was talking to a lot of people who either felt like there was so much pressure on them as creatives to produce things or write things, or they were stuck creatively in the pandemic.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Tough times, but we got through them.
Yes. So it's wonderful.
Thank God.
You must feel like, wow, where did the past 4 years go? And here we are. It's wonderful.
Yeah, we're very blessed, and things are really feeling very positive at the moment. So I'm excited to move into new films and new endeavors.
Exciting. Very exciting. Okay, so just to recap, Nico, could you tell me where people can find out more about you and the film?
Well, you can find me in obvious places like Instagram and IMDb, which have my film career under Nico Santucci. Instagram, if you want to see what I'm doing today or tomorrow or yesterday, at Nico Santucci also. And most of the cast members all have Instagram pages or IMDb pages. Ikumi Yoshimatsu, Windsor Harmon, Ruby Park, Haki Aliong, we're all sort of findable. And at IMDb, if you look up Sarigetto, you could be linked to all of the participants in the film. And we're sort of all somewhat available.
Great. And we do have to give a shout out to your Emmy-nominated composer, Martin Tillman.
Unbelievable, yeah. And
whoa.
Martin really has an even greater attachment than folks are aware. His wife was going through something during the filming of Sarigetto, and we actually, you know, in memory of her, we sort of, you know, really paid a lot of homage to her while shooting the film. Mm. And Martin is a remarkable partner. He and Jacob Below, who really did everything musically on the film and collaborated with Martin, the two of them are just both superstars and very great to work with. And Jacob is in Germany, so it was a, you know, the time difference is always challenging, but
yes.
Martin as well. So we got through it, and the soundtrack, as you can probably attest, is spectacular.
It is. It really is. Oh, tell me, Jacob was what was his role? Composer.
He was the composer, sound designer. He did the whole score.
Got it.
He put together the whole soundtrack that's on his label.
Okay.
Jacob Below, Balogh.
We'll have to put his name up on the show blog. I was not aware.
Yeah, he's a remarkable talent.
Fantastic. Well, I want to thank you so much. I put the trailer up on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And this has been a pleasure.
Well, thank you, Janine. If ever we have the opportunity, let's get together and have coffee somewhere.
That would be great. That would be great. Okay.
Thank you, my dear. You have a wonderful day today.
You too. Enjoy your time in the OC.
Okay.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was director Nico Santucci talking about his latest film, Sarigetto. And you can learn more about the film. It's up on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And there is a link, if you scroll down, to the trailer. And the film is out on digital platforms April 1st through Gravitas Ventures, and it is really making waves in the film festivals. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back. If you want to find out more about KUCI, you can head over to KUCI.org for our eclectic mix of music and public affairs shows, or visit our socials at KUCI FM.